Well, I appreciate that song because it goes along with what I want to share with you today. You know, Sister Maxine's gone now, but I don't want the lessons that we can learn from the life that she lived before us to just be close the door and now we start new. That we have so many lessons that we can learn from the life that she lived. And what I want to look at today, if I could put a topic to it, it would be the value of suffering. Jesus left us an example that we could follow in his steps. And Sister Maxine has left us an example that we can follow in her steps. I thought about this when she broke her hip. I believe she could have walked the next day with a hip replacement. Why would you be willing to suffer? I want to tell you why. She could see way out into eternity and say, Lord, in a Christian's life, you put things into my life for a reason. You want to give me the best opportunity to make heaven my home. And sometimes, because I don't want to suffer, it's possible that I could short circuit the plan that God has for my life. And when I look at her example to us, when she said, I want to just put this in the Lord's hands, you know the lessons that she learned in 6 months of laying in her bed? Really, it was more lessons than just that. Because when she made her decision and she came home, what she really consecrated to was to never walk again, if that's what the Lord wanted for her life. What I want us to do today is take a look at the value of suffering. Now, do we say, Lord, I tell you what, I want you to send some things my way so I can suffer? No. What we get to do is when he sends things our way, we get to go to him and tell him, we would like for you to take this trouble away from me. But then we're left with some examples, and I'd like to look at all those. I'd like to start in 1 Peter, the first chapter, and in the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's being able, because of Christ, I have a picture of what's out ahead for me. Got a lively hope because of the resurrection of Christ. This lively hope is to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I like those verses. Those are me looking out ahead toward heaven. It's going to be a wonderful time. But then now look at the sixth verse. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. So I've got this bright view of heaven out ahead for me. And then he says, you rejoice, but now you've been, maybe you've got some heaviness through manifold temptations. Some things are happening to me. I still got this vision of heaven, but troubles have come my way. And then the seventh verse is what I think is real valuable. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory in this life at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So I look at this, at the value of gold today, and he's saying the trial of your faith is more valuable than all the gold you could get together. Why is that? You know what? Gold means nothing to Sister Maxine today. No matter how much she could have accumulated wealth-wise, it would be all left behind. The trial of her faith was more precious than gold that perished. It was tried with fire. It would be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, we may not see the benefits of all these things that she went through, but when she stood before the Lord and the sufferings that she was willing to go through is very valuable. To Sister Maxine, the trial of her faith, testing her confidence in God, that he was in control, and he was allowing what was happening. I'd like to look at a verse over in Deuteronomy. Because, you know, we read, have heard in our last couple Sunday school lessons about the children of Israel. And there's a verse over in Deuteronomy 8. Because the Lord sent them through some things. 8:1, it says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day, ye shall observe to do, and ye may live and multiply. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee." You know, he sent some things to test, so that I believe he already knew, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee. I look at that. Did it end just with the children of Israel? Or does he send some things to try me, to prove me, to know what's in my heart? Will I be able to continue to put my trust in him? Job, what a testimony God gave to Satan. Job is a perfect and an upright man. And then Satan says, "I tell you what, if you let me touch the things that he has, he will curse you to your face." And God allowed that to happen. One thing I like to think about with this is, to the Christian, Satan only has as much power as the Lord will allow him. He can only go as far as God will allow him. Because God said at the first chapter, you can touch his things, but you cannot touch his person. And so he touched all of his things in the first chapter. And what did it end up saying? The Lord gave. Job said this, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." But it didn't end there. There's a second chapter of Job where God goes back to Satan and said, "Have you considered him? After all these troubles that you've caused him to go through, he's still living for me." And that's when Satan said, "Skin for skin, everything a man hath, he will give it for his life." And that is so true. There are people today that if they were told, "We can do nothing else for you," they would be willing to give all the money, give everything they have, if you could add a few more days. And that's what Satan believed Job was looking at. Skin for skin. You touch his body and he will curse you to your face. And God allowed him then to touch his body. But what does it say? "In all this, Job sinned not, nor did he charge God foolishly." I wonder, you think God maybe still does that today to Satan? "Have you considered my servant, Maxine Busby?" And Satan says, "I know the human nature. You touch them and they will turn." And now this lesson that we have today is to find that when we won't turn, when we're willing to suffer, what is the value of it? I'd like to look at a verse over in James. Because I think we have had a great example given to us of trust in the Lord. And I look at this, James 1:12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." You know how many verses there are that talk about if we endure tribulation, if we go through these trials in the right way, eternal life is promised to us. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. If he will go through those things in the right way, he will receive a crown of life. I want to go over to 1 Peter in the 4th chapter, 4 and 12. Because if you start studying through the scriptures, you know, we believe in divine healing. We believe that God can touch us and heal us and give us long life. You know, the Bible gives us more scriptures about suffering than it does about him touching me and taking away everything to where I have no troubles coming my way. And this is not just about sickness. This is about just adversities that can come into my life. I find them through the Old Testament. I find them through the New Testament. And so I want to take some heed to those and take a look at it. In the 4th chapter and 12th verse of 1 Peter, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But look at this next verse. Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad with exceeding joy." Here's another verse that in the same context, it tells us about the troubles we can go through, but it tells if we'll go through them in the right way, there's going to be some rejoicing that comes from that. In the 6th chapter of John, when we start out that chapter, it starts out wonderful. Jesus has just fed a multitude of people, and they are following him. They're trying to find, where is he? I want to be next to him. And he says, you're following me because of the loaves and the fishes. And down through that chapter, he starts telling, if you want to be a follower of mine, and Sister Maxine has preached this message to us many times, if you want to be a follower of mine, you're going to need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And it says, when he told him that, you know what he was really saying with that? Was, if you want to be a follower of me, there's going to be some suffering that comes with it. You will suffer like I have suffered. And as we go on down through there, it says, when they heard that, many of his disciples went back and followed him no more. Because you know what? We're just not ready to suffer if I could get out of it. But I look at Sister Maxine's example that she gave us, that when she could have gotten out of it, she had this view of eternity out ahead, I believe, to the point that she says, Lord, there's some things that you send into my life that could be giving me a better chance of making heaven my home. We saw it with Job. He was a perfect and an upright man. But when troubles came into his life, into his health, for 37 chapters, there were some things that God was able to pull dross off of him. Sister Maxine gave us that same testimony. Things that she didn't realize needed to be drawn off, she found when you lay on the bed for several months at a time. And she was able to see those, get them drawn off, to where when she was called out of here, I think she could be like John was at the end of Revelations when Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. She could say, even so come, Lord Jesus. So the contrast between the disciples that went no more with him and the other disciples, look at a verse over in Acts, the 5th chapter. Because as I started looking at these things, how will I go through adversity that comes into my life? Acts 5 and 40. So they have gotten the disciples. They're wanting them to stop teaching about Jesus. And it says, when they had called the apostles, 40th verse, and beaten them, and commanded that they not speak in the name of Jesus, they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council. Look at this. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Here's some suffering that's coming from this, and they're willing to do that. There is another verse over in 1 Peter 4, and in the very first Peter 4 and 1. For as much as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. What is that telling us? As he went through some difficulties in his life and suffered some things, I need to prepare to do some suffering myself. And so much, because we watched Sister Maxine suffer in the flesh, physically, that's not all the suffering that can come to us. There can be just somebody doing us wrong. There can be the need to forgive. There's so many things that we can suffer in this life. And he's just telling us, arm yourselves likewise. And it says, he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. I was looking at the commentary on that. It says, the man who suffers, he starts reflecting on his ways. I have watched that so many times. I watched it with Dad. As he came down, looks like he's getting close to the end of his way, he started doing inventory, just seeking the Lord. Lord, if there is anything that I have forgotten, anything you maybe showed me in the past, and I have forgotten it, Lord, I want you to show it to me now and make sure that everything is clear. Psalms 139 and 23 and 24, there's some soul searching that comes about in these suffering times. There should be. And that says, search me, O God, know my heart, know my thoughts, see if there's any wicked way in me. And then here again, it ends with, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I want you to send some things to me so that I will be able to be led in the way everlasting. You know, we watched Sister Maxine do the searching and asking God to do the searching also. There's a song that we sing. For too well thy Savior loves thee to allow thy life to be one long, calm, unbroken summer, one unruffled, stormless sea. He would have thee fondly nestle closer to his loving breast. And again, heaven gets put in the picture. He would have that world seem brighter where alone is perfect rest. Sister Maxine, a few years ago, encouraged us all, and we even had some Bible studies. I'm not sure how many were here then. Had some Bible studies, and she ordered a book. It was a children's edition of Hinds Feet on High Places. And as we went through that book and looked at some things, it talked about the Good Shepherd, a little crippled girl that's wanting to go to the high places, and he says he will take her there. And he says, I've got the best travel companions for you to be able to take this trip. When she asked what were their names, it was sorrow and suffering. These will be your best guides to get you there. And so it even took some consecrating for her to be willing to let them be the ones to guide her. But it says when they started out, they turned. She could see the mountain that she's wanting to climb, wanting to be on the top of it. But instead, they turn and go into the desert. And the shepherd had told her, said, at any time you need me, you give me a call, and I'll be there. Well, she called for him then and said, these people are taking me in the wrong direction. We're heading into the desert. And we were supposed to be going to the mountain. Help me out here. And he said, this is the way to the mountain. You'll just have to submit and follow them. So I look at that. There's a verse over in 1 Peter, 5th chapter, 10th verse. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. There are some things that suffering, troubles that come into our life, nothing else will do the same thing for it. After you have suffered a while, it'll make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So I thought about Paul. Jesus, when Jesus was talking to Ananias to go pray for him, he said, Paul is a chosen vessel to me. Boy, that sounds pretty good. when Jesus says you're a chosen vessel, that's a pretty high honor. And he said, I must show him what great things he will suffer for my name. Here comes suffering to this chosen vessel. And I don't know of anybody that went through more suffering than he did. His suffering was not just sick in the body. That was a part of it. And that was one of them where he asked for that to be taken away. He did what I do. He did what Sister Maxine would do. Lord, I got this problem right here. I'd like for you to remove it. And, you know, I'd like for it to be removed yesterday. I'd like for it to be very short. I want to get back on to living a good life. Paul gives us a list of all the things, how many times he was shipwrecked, how many times he was beaten, how many times he suffered 30, 40 stripes, save one. And yet he said, none of these things move me. So I think of, for us today, 2025, and the example that Sister Maxine has left for us. You remember when, after 6 months of laying in the bed, somewhere close to Thanksgiving time of that year, she is then able to come to service. And I had thought she came right up here to the pulpit, but I saw a picture where, and I remembered it then. You remember they would set a table down here and wheel her chair up to it. There is something so valuable for us to learn while Sister Maxine suffered, is that she looked out at helping others. I believe that is so valuable for us when we're suffering anything. It's so easy to turn everything in. It's all about me. Just survival. It could be somebody doing us wrong. It could be so many different things. Sister Maxine, from the very beginning, continued to minister to us. And to me, those messages were so valuable because they're produced right in the middle of adversity. What she is able to send to us. There's a verse in Hebrews 11 and 25. This morning we heard about Moses. It says in 24, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's a song that says, if we suffer as a Christian, he'll reward us over there. Once beneath our load of sins, he meekly bowed. He will never let us suffer more than we can ably bear. We're sure the sun is shining just behind the cloud. In Romans, in the 8th chapter, after Paul has gone through all these things that have happened to him, I look at this in 8 and 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. You know, one thing is, no matter what we suffer as a Christian, I have got to get a good view of heaven to where I can always have something to compare this adversity that I'm going through with something. I believe Sister Maxine got her a picture of heaven. Paul, I know, got a picture of heaven. He said that he was caught up to the third heaven in a, whether it was a vision or whatever. He saw some things, and I believe those things helped him to be able to be faithful until the end. If we suffer with him, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. To be able to, Sister Maxine, when she goes down again, and she, I remember, you all probably all remember it, her last message, the unexpected cross. And when she finished it, I believe the Lord revealed something to her because she told me when she was over there, I believe this will be the last time that I will preach from this pulpit here. And it was. But you know what? She was able to go into the trouble, go all the way through, just walking with the Lord, continue to message us until the meeting started. That's what our desire was. So while she was going through adversity, she was able to minister to others. And you know what? It's not just her. I watched this example in Brother Curtis Williams today. He can, on his job back when he had the job, he would have that heart trouble and he would hand it over to God. They would tell him, you know what, you're going to have to do something or you could lose your job. And he would say, you know what, the Lord gave me that job. Maybe he's about ready for me to quit it anyhow. And the Lord would bring him back out with a touch that everybody at work and all, it was such a wonderful thing. And you know, he would go for a while and then go back into it again. And I watched him as he would go into it, just commit himself to God. Lord, what do you have for me? Well, just I think the first of this month, he quit his job, retired, because he was going to be the pastor there at Sepulpa. And then he goes down in his health again. You know, it would be real easy to question God. God, I've already given myself to you, and now you're allowing all this to be. You know what is so wonderful? It's for us to be able to commit ourselves into his hands, to where he is now able to say, Lord, here I am. I'm willing to minister for you. You also have called me into this place, and I submit to you. The sufferings that we have coming to us, they will not be what takes me to heaven. We heard that somebody had as a Sunday school verse this morning, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm not going to be able to say, you know what, I've had so much adversity in my life that I am going to make heaven my home. It's going to only be because of the blood of Christ that I make heaven. There is a song, and I think this was Sister Maxine's example, and it was also her reward. I'd like for us to sing it in closing. It's number 241. Because we're going to be called on to suffer some things. This one, it starts out, who will suffer with the Savior? But then it ends with, just like so many of those verses that we have been looking at, it tells about the suffering and then it also tells about the victory that is going to be at that. Look at this Sister Maxine's testimony, I believe. Soon the conflict will be over. Crowns await the firm and pure. Forward, brethren, work and suffer. Faithful to the end endure. Lord, we fellowship thy passion. We gladly suffer shame and loss. With thy blessing, pain is pleasure. That's something more than we will be able to do on our own. It was something more than what Sister Maxine could do on her own. Jesus left us an example. Sister Maxine has left us an example. And I am very thankful for it. That when things come my way that I have to suffer, that I will be able to see, you know what, if I'll go through it in the right way. Most of those verses that we looked at the end of going through it in the right way, eternally can be heaven my home. And I believe that is what the reward that Sister Maxine has gotten. I want to be able to profit by the example that she has left us. Maybe we can stand and sing that.